Welcome to the first episode of the Speedy G podcast. Today we're talking shoes. We have Ross Walker with us today and DK. Ross was sixth place at the high school state meet in the mile, and DK was fifth place at the Folsom Firecracker 5K. So we got that going for us. All right, we're going to talk about shoes. We're going to kind of do best shoes of 2019-2020, each category. We're going to skip stability because nowadays stability is literally the same as neutral, just with the posting or guide rails or whatever you want to call it. So we're going to go category by category, and then we're going to talk about the 4% and all the competitors that are going to be coming out this year so you can know what's going to work for you. So we'll start with neutral lightweight, being like Kinvara, Zante, whatever. You could throw the Rebel in there, whatever you want to do. We'll start with Ross. What is your favorite lightweight neutral right now?
I would say probably the Rebel, honestly.
Yeah.
Just, it's fairly responsive, but it's pretty lightweight too.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of it's a nice combo of things.
Yeah, I think initially they were like, this is going to be like a workout shoe, but I've ran normal runs in it and it's fine. So I think you could daily train in it, but that's getting like pretty lightweight. But yeah, the responsiveness of it is really nice. We're totally going to skip fit for this episode because that's going to be subjective to your own feet. So we're just talking cushion, responsiveness, and that's pretty much it. So what's your number one last year or kind of rolling into this year?
I would go with the Rebel as well.
Yeah.
Because of the same reasons, just with the cushioning, but also responsiveness. So you could take it on a long run or do like mile repeats in it. So
yeah,
same thing.
For sure. For me, definitely going to be the Freedom 3, probably. It just came out, but we also have the Kinvara 11s coming out. The New Balance Fresh Foam Tempo is replacing the Zante, so those will be up there. The new launch sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it looks good, but it's super firm. So it's just, I think they should just replace it with the Revel. Is that what it's called?
The Revel.
Is literally, it's $100. It's the same shoe, but it's just better. Yeah. Asics doesn't have anything.
Oof.
The Rincon has been popular. Yeah. A lot of our coworkers tried the Rincon this year and liked it. So
I like the Rincon, but I would still say for like responsiveness and cushioning, I would still go with the Rebel.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the Rincon just trashed after like 150 miles.
Yeah,
it's not wrecked
at all.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, the Rincon is just like a cut down Clifton. It's really nice. It's really light, but it's gonna wear out like 200 miles max. So if you like that, it'll be comfortable. But I mean, you're gonna be buying them all the time. So
Freedom 3 will be cool though.
Yeah, Freedom 3 is going to be very nice.
And I walked around in it, it's super light.
Yeah, it is officially out. I had to change mine to a 12.5, so I haven't ran in them yet, but it is officially out. So, and they dropped the price $10, so that's cool. Let's go to moderate, and for me, the Fresh Foam 880 is coming out. So New Balance 880 version 10, that's going to be way better in my opinion. The 880 has True Fuse right now, and it's just out of date. Like, the Ghost feels softer.
Yeah.
The ride feels softer. I have people buying the Topo Phantom over the 880. Like, that's when you know you're in trouble. So that'll be good. But right now, I don't like the Ghost, but I'd say it's probably the Ghost. It's always like the number one, but it's not my number one. I don't really have one right now.
# not my shoe.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe, like, I haven't ran in it, but I would probably buy, like, the Phantom over, like, the Ride or the Ghost or the 880. But I think the new 880 will be good.
Those are fighting words for Ross.
Yeah, Ross doesn't like Topo.
Yeah. They're fine.
I don't think their shoes are very good, but the Phantom, like, almost every time I pull it, it sells.
They're not too bad. Yeah, no, people like them. People like, because it's a weird fit, but people just like how, like, different it is.
People like weird fit.
They do, man. Like, it's like an Ultra with just, like, a slightly higher drop, and people dig that.
The heel is horrible, though. Like, the heel counter.
Oh, it's
dude,
cheap.
Yeah, so many people have brought that back.
It feels like you put a cardboard box and just duct taped it to your heel.
Speaking of heel counters, the new 880 looks sick. The heel counter looks just like the Phantom. Ooh. I'm like, why is this on here? This looks like it's from 2006. It's like hard plastic.
I'm interested.
So that might kill that shoe, even though the whole rest of the shoe is going to be good. That
why didn't they? They should have just done the same thing as the 1080. 1080 heel is nice.
Yeah, the 1080.
It doesn't slip.
Yeah.
But it's like really slick.
Let's be real. Our favorite moderate cushion is the Cumulus or the Wave Rider.
Oh.
Do you guys have a favorite though? I don't really have one.
I would say the Ride personally.
Okay.
But I mean, I think the new 880 is going to be pretty epic.
You're running in the Ride right now, right?
Yeah. It's my daily trainer.
So, I mean, the new one's going to get Power Run. So it'll be even better.
Yeah. If it's anything like the new guide, it'll be pretty nice.
Yeah,
which it should be.
It's just literally the new guide without that TPU posting. So that'll be sick. Do you have one or no?
My favorite isn't necessarily a road shoe, but it's the Pegasus Trail.
Okay.
Which is like their hybrid shoe.
Yeah. It's better than the regular Pegasus. Yeah, let's be real.
Yeah. So I don't like the normal Pegasus, but I like the Pegasus Trail. I would say that's my top moderate cushion.
Yeah. I think everyone likes the Turbo, but it's $180.
Oh, yeah. If it was $150, that thing would kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's pretty cheap for
so Nike for the snake.
Yep.
$150.
They're definitely the snake. So let's get into Max Cushion. Weird for me, but it's actually like exciting now, Max Cushion. For the listeners, I wear the Freedom all the time and like the Zante, so if you don't know what that means, I don't like a lot of shoe basically, and I've never been able to wear Max Cushion to work, and I've been wearing the 1080, size 12 and a half, to work, and it doesn't hurt my heels, so it's the first time. I tried to wear the Triumph like 2 years ago to work, and my feet just started hurting after like an hour. So Max Cushion is in a really good place because it's almost every brand is like 20% lighter this year, or 28% or something, but it's the same amount of cushion. I don't know if they just took cues from like the Hoka Clifton or something, but they're seeming to be able to achieve it. So what's your guys' favorite Max Cushion right now?
Do you want... Oh, no, me? Okay. I would say 1080, yeah. Like, it's nice because it's pretty soft of a shoe, but also has that bounce to it. And I think very few Max Cushion shoes have that kind of response. But it was like what you were saying, like most Max Cushion shoes kind of suck right now, but they're getting better.
Yeah.
So I think the 1080 kind of stands out as being one of the better ones. That and like the Triumph.
Yeah. Really good. I'm not a huge fan of, like, I just won't run in them, but it's nice to have ones I can actually wear to work. David French runs in Max Cushion, so he's been running in the new Triumph and liking it a lot. My favorite would be the 1080 probably. The way that they're getting away with it being super light and still having a lot of soft cushion is there's still a lot of like blown rubber on the bottom.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll last a long time, but I think the Triumph will last longer because they have that crystal rubber and it just seems to last way longer than anything else.
1080 is a bit more bouncy though.
Yeah.
The Triumph, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would actually go with the Triumph.
Yeah.
Because I think the Triumph is like too soft. Or not the Triumph, the 1080 is too soft.
But you're already talking for running or like standing at work?
Well, like either.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would go with the Triumph. I like the Triumph over the 1080.
Good stuff. Yeah.
To but
I like both over everything else.
Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
The Nimbus.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Have either of you tried on the Nimbus Light?
Yeah.
I have.
Okay, yeah. So that shoe's weird for those of you who are curious about it, seeing it on the internet. It feels way better than the Cumulus. Agree?
It's a very low bar, but yes.
Yes. It feels way better than Cumulus. Not saying much, but for ASICS, they got to take what they can get right now.
It's better than the regular Nimbus. I will give it that.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very pleasant surprise trying it on. I was like, wow, it ain't too bad. But it feels like a 14 drop shoe. It feels like you're in a high heel.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. The heel, I mean, I'm sure it's a typical ASICS 10 or 12 or whatever, but it feels significantly higher than the regular Nimbus, which is just super annoying.
I think the Nimbus was the wrong shoe to use that foam, though.
Yeah.
I think they should have used it on, like, the Cumulus.
Yeah.
And just replaced the Cumulus.
What? Altogether. No gel? How dare you?
Well, I think they've
been having in their storage facility for, like, the past half century.
See, that's the thing. They just made, like, thousands upon thousands of tons of gel. They just don't know what to do with it. That's what the Quantum Infinity is all about, man. I think it's 100% gel.
Oh, good lord. The Cumulus is getting completely overhauled. Like, the next version is taking no cues from the last one, which is, like, the third time they've done that.
Hopefully
just shows you where they are right now.
I mean, when they put no thought into shoes, they turn out pretty well. The Dynaflight 1, or not Dynaflight, Roadhawk.
Roadhawk 1
was pretty solid because they didn't think about it. They just took scraps from other shoes, threw it in one. And then they thought about it for the 2, and screwed it up.
Yeah. At the time, the Roadhawk was right there with like every other shoe. It felt just like the launch. It felt just like the Zante. It was an 8 drop. It was light. It was not too soft, not too firm. It was just a shoe. And it was $100. And it was really good. And then they changed the heel drop. And they changed the upper too. They made it all like netty and crappy, whatever. Yeah.
I feel like it was firmer too. The second one.
They just ruined it.
Yeah,
which
it is whack.
Pretty typical. So, let's go. Do you guys want to talk trail at all? There's some good trail updates, and then we can get to the whole 4% in competitor stuff. None of us admittedly run trail that much, but we do all try on the shoes all the time. So the best update I've seen is the Peregrine for sure.
Yeah.
It fits way better. They put the rock plate back in. They took the ISO fit off. Customers seem to be liking it pretty well. And then the Caldera is a big one too, because that shoe was never a trail shoe. It was like all terrain.
Yeah.
And now it has lugs. So those are two good updates. They're comparable. They're both four drop. They're both like moderate high cushion.
Or an old update, but the Evo Mafate from Hoka and the Evo Speed Goat
are
pretty awesome.
You ran the Mafate a lot, right?
Yeah, both the old one and the newest one.
Okay, like. What'd you notice? Or do you like one over the other or no?
Just the upper is much better.
Okay.
It feels, I mean, it's a really springy shoe and it has a lot of lugs, but it's just...
Evo had an issue for a while. Like that upper material that they had for all their EVO shoes. But they've improved, for sure.
The old Speed Get, or the old Evo Mafate, it just was like, it got all wrinkled, where the new one doesn't do that.
It's all wrinkly when you tie it tight. That's good. Good stuff.
Something and the Pegasus Trail.
Yeah.
Again.
Pegasus Trail's been good. We replaced the Wild Horse with it, which we never sold the Wild Horse anyways, and
that's
been decent. Yeah, for sure. Interesting, with the Speed Goat this year, there's essentially three widths. Because there's a regular width, and then there's the Evo upper, which is slightly wider and just more accommodating.
And based off the Speed Goat 3 chassis.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the Speed Goat 4 wide, which is even wider than the Speed Evo.
But the new Speed Goats are not as comfortable as the old ones.
They're not? Okay. Yeah.
I think the upper just like digs into your toe.
I haven't tried them very much, but that's disappointing.
Oh, okay.
It's not my favorite.
I tried a half size small, and I thought that was just that. But maybe it might be the
just I have
how
the right
shoe
size,
is.
But I haven't run in it. But every time I try it on, because every once in a while I'm like, I'm gonna wear this, then it's just not comfortable.
Yeah, the Sense Ride 3 came in and it's hot garbage. It feels like really firm and
poor Solomon.
But it got softer too.
Yeah, I don't.
So that speaks to how firm it used to be. Yeah, so it got softer, but it's like way more shoe.
See, I run in the 2 right now. I like it, but then again, I used to run an ASIC, so what do I know?
You're like, oh, that's better than the GT 2000.
But like the thing is, though, you can only run on trail in it. If you run like, if you try running on anything hard surface, it's super firm.
They say you can run wherever you want. Do you remember the tech
session?
They're like, oh, you can run on road. It's fine. Okay.
It has the potential to be cool because the contra grip they use on the bottom is ridiculously durable.
Yeah.
So you could run on road in it. It's just not comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, if they made more cushion, it'd be perfect.
That's, like, their sales pitch, is that it won't wear out like normal tread, but...
It's because no one wants to run
your bones will wear out.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I just found it awkward. Like, it was hard, like, under my big toe or something. I don't even know.
And they changed the fit. It feels wider than it used to be.
Yeah, and that's the only reason
that's
I ever
sold it. That's
good
for most people.
Yeah.
Well, it, for me,
that's
it's like
true.
All our trail shoes are wide, right? So if someone has like a 2A or like a guy has a B width or something, I would bring him the Sense Ride and it was the only shoe that fit them.
That's
so now,
good, that's true.
A boat.
Good point.
Yeah, they don't even have that going for them anymore. So let's get to the exciting news. All the Vaporfly competitors are coming out. And with the new rule, I guess they're all going to be out by April, because if they're not, no one could wear them at the Olympics. So let's just go down the line. Everyone kind of already knows about the Alpha Fly. If you don't, you can check it out on all those prototype Instagrams. They basically, it doesn't look that different from the Next Percent, honestly. It just has those, AirPods?
AirPods,
Yep, AirPods in the front, so a little bit more propulsion.
And only one carbon plate.
Yeah.
People were speculating three.
Right, we can clear that up really quick. Yeah. Like, the whole time, Kipchoge's Alpha Flies were taller, and they had supposedly had three plates and the AirPods. But they were never planning to sell that to the open market.
No.
And that's where the confusion was.
A stack of two AirPods, too.
Yeah.
The one that's going to be out is just one.
Yeah,
one
it was just an ungodly shoe, which is fine. Like, they wanted to show that the human body could break two, and I'm all for that. It was cool. But, like, that shoe was ridiculous. So what they came out with is totally within the guidelines. And, of course, Nike knew that. They're not stupid. They're not going to make a shoe that they can't sell. So, the Zoomfly looks cool, though. It got the AirPods and everything. They changed the name. It's like, I don't know what it's called, like Next Percent Zoomfly or something. Have you guys seen it?
I think I saw a picture of it. I didn't notice, though, that it was a Zoomfly.
Yeah, they essentially made the Alpha Fly again, but with what's it called, React Foam instead. So that's kind of cool. But
hopefully it's not bottom heavy.
Yeah.
That's been my complaint with the previous
ones. Zoomflies are heavy boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go through each competitor, and let's start with Asics. they do have a shoe. It kind of came and went, I think, the Metaride, and good thing is they did make good shoes because of it. They made, like, the Glideride and then another shoe. James has been running in. He likes
good things about that.
Yeah, but the first one was ridiculous. They were just like, let's make it a super rocker. Yeah. A zero drop and make it 250 because that's what everyone. Let's just take what everyone's doing.
It was like the Bondi's like weird cousin.
Yeah,
not as heavy as the Kayano. Yeah,
it's just straight ridiculous. But they did make some good trainers out of that, so they're trying. I don't know if you guys look on the internet, you can look up Nova Blast. They do have a shoe coming out. Although I was looking into it, and I don't think that that's their 4%. I think it's just their new foam because I found it in the catalog, and it said $130.
Huh.
And I think I saw another shoe that said $200. So I'll have to look into that and do a little update. But
nobody really knows about that shoe though.
The Nova Blast.
Yeah, because Believe in the Run did an article on it.
Yeah,
I think you might have been telling me this.
Yeah, Believe in the Run went to TRC. I think it's called the shoe show at the end of the year every year. And Asics had a table, of course, and everyone saw their new stuff, but they told, like, all the media, like, yeah, you guys can't say anything about any of this. So, regardless, their 4% isn't coming out, so they're years behind, which every other brand is years behind, so I don't know where that leaves them.
Typical Asics.
Yeah.
They're about, in, like, the 1800s right now.
Just going backwards in time.
They still ship their shoes on trains.
Horse carriages. Oh, here's your shoe, madam.
All right, let's get to Brooks. So we can talk about the training versions if we want, but it's kind of the same story for every brand. Like, they're just knocking off Zoomfly. So almost every brand has a training version of their Elite shoe. So Brooks has the Hyperion Elite. Not hearing good things from anyone.
No, not firm. At all.
Yeah,
very firm.
Not very durable either. That's
no,
heard,
and know. They are that's two, rough. They're 250.
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge mistake to not undercut Nike's price when they're already dominating, like, the marathon racing shoe
that
market.
That was the one good thing about the Hoka, the Carbon X.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was the pricer. Yeah, for sure.
And very durable.
Yeah.
Very durable.
Yeah, it's a high mileage
just
shoe.
Just heavy. Just heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a total loss for the Hyperion Elite. Some people like a stiff shoe, but that's everything we're hearing is it's really stiff. So if that's what you like, then that's the shoe for you.
If you train in the Cumulus.
Yeah, if you like the Cumulus. Or, you know,
or the launch, the shoe, maybe.
Cardboard, yeah. I don't know. Then you can try that out. We'll jump on over to Saucony. Everyone knows that line really well. It's been promoted a lot. It's supposed to be June 1st, but I don't think it will be anymore because it can't, or they wouldn't be able to wear it at the Olympics. So they've got like a 3-shoe line, but we'll just talk about the Endorphin Pro. That one's it's a little bit heavier than all the other shoes, just like maybe less than an ounce, like 0.8 or something, but I think that's because it's probably going to be the most durable. It has blown rubber on the bottom, which a lot of the other shoes don't, so and it's $200. So if you want that racing shoe, you want that advantage on race day, but you want more bang for your buck, that's probably the way to go. They're also announced, or I guess released, that it is made with Piba foam, which is the hyper foam that ZoomX uses and Reebok uses in their Run Fast series. So it should be as responsive as like Vaporflies, yeah, but
that'd be cool.
You know,
more durable.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. You could say have the argument that like, hey, Nike's been doing it longer, so theirs is going to be better. But they did test, I think they said 25 prototypes of this shoe in Ward and, you know, Stinson and I think Molly Seidel or something is one. Miley Seidel is one of their girls. They've all been wearing it this whole time and wear tested all of them. So it's probably pretty good. I don't think they would release it if it wasn't.
Well, and they've been testing it at big races too, like Boston. And
Sure. Ward ran a 209 at New York in it. Parker Stinson broke the 25K American record in it.
Yeah.
That Seidel chick just ran like 109 in it in the half at Houston. Ooh. So it already has good stats behind it. I think it'll be competitive. One shoe that like no one's talking about unless you're deep into the prototypes, Instagrams, and stuff like that is the New Balance one. Because Americans, or New Balance doesn't sponsor American marathoners, which is really dumb.
Yeah.
They have like none. There's this guy, I don't know how to say his name, it's like Callum Hawkins or something, or Hawkins or something like that. He's British. He got fourth in the marathon at Worlds, like barely. He was right behind some East African.
What a baller.
And he was wearing the New Balance prototypes. And so they're called Fuel Cell Racer. They have like a full name that we're not allowed to talk about. But basically, if any of you have tried the 5280, it's that same foam. So not all fuel cells created equally. Like the Rebel is not as responsive as, it's not as responsive as the 5280, right? And so the shoe they're making, I believe it's also going to be $250. Their like elite one that's coming out. It's going to have that same foam from the 5280. And that thing, if you've seen it in person, it has like even the creases that like Vaporflies get, you know. So you know it's hyper small. I ran in them. I haven't raced in the 5280, but I've done like really fast strides, like down to 800 meter pace. And it's a really fast foam. So they're basically made the marathon version of that. I think that probably will be the closest thing to like an X percent.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like on paper and how it feels and like the actual efficiency you gain from it, it's going to be really, really close.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a bit of a different one would be the Skechers Speed Elite. I'm kind of the nerd on that one because I've been into those for a while waiting for them to come out. It's a four drop, which none of these other shoes are.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be interesting. You know, they're all 8 to 10. There's some science behind that of, like, that helps the plate in propulsion and stuff. But some people just don't like that, you know. So it's good that there's another option out there.
And that it's better on your body, too. It's
yeah.
It's, like, a big study mm-hmm. behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. It's lighter. It's going to be the lightest one. A lot of people are just riding it off as a half marathon racing shoe and not going to full. But not everyone's the same. I know Tyler Pinnell won the U.S. champs in the Reebok RF Pros, like Flow Ride Run Fast Pros. Those shoes are like less than 4 ounces.
As minimal as you can get. Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
it's like people are running in the Adidas Adios.
Yeah,
and like
true.
Doing full marathons mm-hmm. crazy fast. Like, what's to say that they can't in the Skechers?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely yeah. more shoe than that. Like, if
yeah.
you guys are familiar
like
with the Razor 3, it's literally just the Razor 3 yeah. with the plate. And people have been running marathons in the Razor 3
yeah.
if they don't like the Vaporfly hype. So yeah. it's definitely an option. Don't forget about that one. Is there anything else? There is a Hoka prototype coming out. The pros will not be wearing a Carbon X or a Carbon Rocket or a Tracer or anything like that at the trials. So I think it leaked on Instagram already, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say anything, but you'll see it in like 2 weeks. They're all going to be wearing it, and then obviously it's going to be for sale because that's a rule now. So basically what's going to happen with the Carbon X is it's going to become like a daily trainer because a lot of people have been using it as one anyways.
Yeah.
And it's durable, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're just going to kind of rebrand it as like a fast daily trainer. And they have this new shoe coming out that's going to be what the Carbon X was supposed to be, which is like a 4% competitor. So that'll be good. I forgot to mention the Skechers. I think it's like 180 or something. So it undercuts the Vaporfly price as well. So that'll be really good.
Adidas is coming out with something too. It's like a yeah. crazy huge
the sub yeah. 2 comeback.
Yeah. yeah. yeah, Adidas and, comes out with the sub 2 yeah. and it's basically a flat. And yeah. now they're coming up with another sub 2,
which is like the opposite of a flat.
It looks like shoes
even
that
better
like
boost.
Kiss would wear. like they're just platforms. So that'll be interesting. I
with
saw
like 10 pounds.
yeah. I saw like a TPU cutout like Salomon 4%. Have you guys seen that?
Oh boy.
It's on Road Trail Run's Instagram. It's like a it's like a early stage prototype, but it's literally just a white like cutout rocker.
Yeah,
yeah. It looks like a Jesus sandal or
yeah.
something. And it just says like full TPU concept shoe or something. And it totally just looks like they're trying to
yeah.
make a Vaporfly, which I don't know if Salomon should even attempt that.
Do they have any marathoners?
Yes, they do. There was one at CIM.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Something King. I forget his first name.
Mm-hmm.
Max
King, yeah.
Okay, well, Max King yeah. is like a trail god.
well, yeah, but he still runs.
He runs for them,
yeah.
so he, like he had to wear theirs.
Very
he probably true. Ran in like Killian shoes, like the S Labs.
He was wearing S Labs. I do know that.
Eventually, they're gonna start making X percents for the trail.
Yeah,
you know, some, or something like it.
Dude, I'm a huge proponent for that.
What, next percent on the trail?
Yeah, yeah, you think the 4% is better on the trail than the road. Like, what?
It sure is.
Yeah, so DK loses
okay.
all credibility right now. He runs in Vaporflies on the trail.
Discard everything you've heard from me.
So let's go over like one thing to cap off. How do you guys feel about the kind of the advancements in shoe technology? And like, I know we all have different opinions on this. I think there should be a cutoff DK does not. Like, what do you guys think about it? Can there be three plates? Can there be one plate? Should there be a stack height limit? Like, what do you guys think?
DK, shoot.
So I'm on the side of, like, I like the whole technology advancement.
Yeah.
So I think there should, like, I don't want records to just be shattered and, like, the whole record book to be rewritten in, like, 2 years.
Right.
So in that aspect, like, it would be kind of disappointing if that happened, but I really do like seeing these crazy shoes, like the Alpha Fly that right. Kipchoge ran, sub to it.
I do think, like, if something does like that happen, like, they do retroactively just delete those records, because that happened in swimming with those shark skin suits. They were just like, well, none of that counted, like, let's just reset the bar because that was too much.
But I don't really like that either, because then it's like, well, the guy did run.
Yeah, and it also, like, it erases a year of their career, because they can't, like, take it back. Yeah. Well, I still trained my ass off, and then I swam or ran or whatever this time.
There's no conversion chart.
Yeah, and, like, maybe, especially, like, think about if they were in their prime, and then they change the rules and delete their records, and then they're not in their prime anymore, and they can't swim or run that fast anymore, or cycle, or whatever you want to say. That would kind of suck, so I don't know. I think they just need to make the guidelines now so that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, so I would say, like, the guidelines are definitely the safe way to go about it, and, like, probably the most responsible. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely the most responsible. But I wish that it didn't come to that. Like, I wish that they could just do crazy things, like, no matter what, and people would just be, like, having these crazy shoes.
Well, my problem with it is that everyone just threw a bitch fit because Nike made a better shoe, and they've been doing that for years. Like, I don't like their trainers anymore, to be honest, but they've had the best spikes for, like, decades.
And so they come out, like, with, like, a new foam, like, every
they're always making new foam. Yeah. Sometimes it sucks, sometimes it doesn't. Like, what was that one? The, like, beads, that beads one?
The Joyride?
Yeah, the Joyride. Like, that was a joke. They
was on sale, like, a week later.
Yeah, they tried, it didn't work, but they're always trying. Like, they're always innovating, and of course, they're going to have some hits sometimes, and then they're going to be a year or two ahead of everyone. But it really bothers me that everyone bitched about that, because Hoka was making the Carbon Rocket in 2016 before Nike made the Vaporfly.
Because
Leo Manzano was the main tester for it, and he retired that year. I remember they kept saying he was breaking the carbon plate or something, and that it was going to take years for it to come out.
Yeah.
They weren't the first ones to think of it, and there's carbon plates in every pair of spikes. So, you know, essentially people are just saying that they want to ban foam, and, like, you can't ban foam.
I know.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know, because it comes down to technology and what you think should be limited. I personally think I'm, like, an unlimited guy. I think just shoot as much as you can. Make as cool shoes as you want. Because if you start, like, in my opinion, if you start banning shoes based on how efficient they are, how much they improve, then you have to start looking at various other things. You have to look at nutrition. You have to look at all types of shoes, too. Just, like, training shoes as well, because that could help to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. I'm in the same boat as, like, DK, where I'm not totally sure. I'm more on the free side of just being able to innovate.
Yeah, one of the problems with banning, too, is, like, a lot of the things that people talk about, why they love Zoom Flies and Vapor Flies and, like, all the similar competitors coming out, is that they can train harder because recover faster.
Yeah.
So if you ban that stuff, then you're taking away from training, too.
And it's, like, Morton gels are, like, scientifically proven to be, like, way more digestible than any other nutrition product out there. But, like,
hashtag ban Morton.
Nobody is concerned about that, but that's going to make probably about the same improvement over a marathon distance, like 4%.
And I never knew this, but I think on Let's Run's podcast, they had a gal on there that did the actual research on what the Vaporfly does in terms of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it, like, way back. I remember we were talking that at the trials, they had early prototype, and we don't know, like, if it was even as good as the 4%.
Yeah.
Well, she tested the prototype because Nike sent it to them. And we're like, we want to know how good this shoe is. And basically what she found is, depending on how fast you are, it does make you, like, 3 to 6% more efficient, which translates to, like, 1.7% faster, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's less than it is of an advantage the faster you are. So if you're a hobby jogger, it's going to be a bigger gain. If you're a Kipchoge, it's going to be, like, 1% faster.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the science. And they did a bunch of science behind it, so you could look into that if you want.
But he's just looking for marginal gains to begin with.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I hate, like, the argument that, like, that's not fair. I hear some people make the comparison to doping. Like, oh, it's mechanical doping, because if you're blood doping or EPO or whatever, you get, like, a 3%, 4% gain. It doesn't make any sense, because, like, all you need to do is look up Ryan Hall Boston 2011. Look at his shoes. They're literally 5K flats. Like, yeah, you're telling me, like, the RF Pro isn't, like, 20% more efficient than that stupid ASICS flat he was wearing in 2011. Yeah, yeah, and it's all because of the foam. Yeah. Like, so yeah. I think it's a pretty weak argument, but I don't know. I guess people aren't really breaking records like crazy. Some of, like, the half marathon stuff that was going on was a little sketch, but then some of those guys got caught for doping. So it's like, yeah, it wasn't really the shoes. They're just on drugs.
That's true.
You know? That I think the marathon's been pretty believable, because it's like,
for sure,
if you look back to, you know, the first sub four, everyone started breaking four afterwards because they're like, oh, you don't die if you break four.
Yeah.
You know, and Kipchoge broke 2:02 and then Bekele did it right after.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
Kipchoge's just a pioneer,
mm-hmm,
with the whole sub two thing. Like, in, yeah, in the next couple of decades, there's going to be maybe not a bunch of people doing it, but a fair amount of people doing it.
Yeah, I mean, he, at heart, like, without the Vaporflies, he's a 2:04 flat guy.
Oh, yeah,
and I think he's faster now, but I mean, that was his time before he put the shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
No one cared before I put the shoes on. But no, like, literally, he never broke 2:04 without Vaporflies. And I think if he went back and ran his streaks now, he could, because his body knows how to go faster now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
But he didn't break 2:04, and there are guys that have broken 2:04 without Vaporflies. So, you know, there's going to be other guys that can break 2:02, I think. And I think if you let Bekele run, you know, an assisted marathon with, like, shoes that aren't legal, he could probably break two as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Him and Kipchoge at London.
Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Yeah. They're going to throw down for sure.
Yeah. I think another thing, though, with the shoes is keep innovating them. Like,
mm-hmm,
they've had this discussion where, like, well, some people that hate haters.
Yeah.
They'll argue that, like, eventually it's going to become so, so advanced, so ridiculous. But it's like, there's, like, a marginal, like, a decrease. It's like a decrease,
right,
of returns. The bigger stack height you get, the more efficient, like, you're gonna try to, like, create so much stack height, eventually it's not gonna be that,
yeah,
efficient. You're gonna find some middle ground somewhere.
Yeah, Jared Ward talked about it.
Advancing,
it's a
technology,
yeah,
like that.
As you go higher and higher than 40 millimeters, which is the limit now, it's a diminishing return because it's too much cushion.
Yeah.
And you, like, I saw that in my own marathon. Like, I ran the Vaporflies because I fell for the hype, when I shouldn't be running in shoes like that, because I never do. And I heel strike to the whole race, and I never heel strike. And
yeah,
so that's going to happen to other people if they try to, oh, I need a 50 millimeter drop. Like, it's going to make me 10% more efficient. Like, no, you're just going to heel strike, especially if there's hills.
Yeah.
Because if you're going downhill in a giant shoe, like, you're coming down on your heel first.
Plunking all the way down.
Well, and it's like the argument you said earlier, like, what if you wore a flat?
Yeah.
Because I think flats, you could argue that they're more efficient than a lot of marathon shoes out there, just,
yeah,
because they're so much lighter.
Yeah.
And so it's like, should there be restrictions on how light the shoe can be?
Yeah.
Like,
you just can't restrict it, because everyone's different. Because,
yeah,
for,
exactly,
me, like,
mm-hmm,
I have good biomechanics, just like a neutral foot strike on my own. And when I run in the Reebok Run Fast Pro, my foot moves exactly how I want it to. And there's only, I think, 20 millimeters of cushioning in the heel and 17 in the front.
It's a very, very small,
yeah, area. So for me, that's like, that's how I want my foot to move.
Yeah.
Like, this is the fastest shoe I can wear, and I don't know if I could wear it for a marathon, but I know I could wear it for a half. And so you can't regulate people like that, because some people are naturally heel strikers.
Yeah, totally.
And they're gonna love the Vaporfly, and some people, you know, are midfoot strikers,
yeah,
and they're gonna want the Skechers Speed Elite or something. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah, it's just, people are too different. You can't really set too much of a limit.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know, this is kind of a crazy comparison, but maybe not really, is, like, when they started putting, like, spikes on shoes.
Yeah.
When they started running track.
Oh, yeah, that was a,
like,
breakthrough.
No. Yeah.
That was massive. Because
it helps.
No, I don't think it's,
totally agree.
I don't think it's crazy
the shoes because
at
it helps.
All. Yeah, like, the first Mondo track was surely, like, 4% faster,
yeah,
or 1.7% faster than the, you know, the rubber, like, bouncy.
Well, that was even better
all-weather
than the dirt tracks,
yeah,
that they,
yeah,
used to run on in the 50s, yeah.
Right, yeah, it's like
Sac State's track, the Mondo Super X.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of the fastest tracks in the world.
Yeah, you can't ban tracks, you can't,
yeah,
ban shoes. I like the rule that it's just, like, the shoe has to be coming out.
Oh, yeah, same thing.
That's,
yeah,
fair, that's really valid, because then everyone has access to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's always been the rule.
Yeah.
But they're just making it for, like, this specific case.
Yeah, they're making it firmer,
mm-hmm, yeah,
basically. So, but no, yeah, my dad, I'm going to make a video on this, but, like, my dad ran 149.7 in Diodora spikes that you can roll up into a ball. Like, literally just like a sock, you could roll it up.
Give that and you, some like, victories.
Yeah, you compare that to a Victory Elite with, like, a carbon yeah. plate on it that, like, won't bend.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and that was in, like, 1980. And so it's like...
Even, like, a crappy spike out right now, like, the Sonic Vendetta is better.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the entry-level spikes are faster. Like the New Balance MD-500.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. That spike is way faster than what my dad
probably
wore.
Probably lighter,
college.
Too.
Yeah, faster, lighter, firmer plate.
Even, like, the Rival M, probably, mm-hmm. from Nike.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so people just need to stop complaining, basically.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it really bothers me, not that I have any say in it, but when people, like, complain about another brand's shoe, and it's like, if you ran for that brand, you would wear the shoe that they gave you. So it's like, why are you even complaining?
Because people do.
Yeah.
Like, people who are sponsored by other brands are just blacking them out.
Yeah, for sure.
One, everyone was hating on Nike until all the other brands started getting it, and then they're like, okay, it's acceptable.
I guess
it's okay. The next percent's not that bad.
Wait, we have a carbon plate?
Yeah.
Okay, I like carbon plates.
Yeah, they're the best thing out there.
Yeah, good lord. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Don't forget to check out alohahemp.com/SpeedyGRacing. You can use the coupon code SpeedyGPodcast for 10% off all products. And next week, we're going to have on CJ Albertson. He's going to give us his hot take on what's going to happen at the marathon trials, how he's going to do there, what his training's been like, and insight on things like that. So
top
stay
10.
Tuned for next week. Top 10, dark horse.
I say top 10.
Top 15?
I think so. That man's a monster.
He's a monster.
If you look at his training.
He's on Strava. If you want to be depressed about your own running, go follow him. And, you know, we'll see who wins, him or Wansley. All right. Thanks for listening.